This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Michelle Malkin. Michelle, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing, Rich?
Great. Great to come. Thanks for coming back on the show. We appreciate it.
You bet.
So I want to ask you a couple different things. I want to get to the story you wrote for Conservative Review about pop. But first, I want to ask you your thoughts on Kathy Griffin and her now victimization.
Yeah, this is a soulless bottom feeder, and I really don't know what else to say about Lisa Bloom other than that she's the bottom feeder on the bottom of the bottom feeder. I mean, that spectacle really reached a new low and crossed a new threshold, you know, for the 25 or so years that I've been covering pop culture and politics. And, you know, Kathy Griffin threw out every card possible. I mean, she played the race card. She played the female card. And as I noted on Twitter earlier today, these women who are crying misogyny are a cause of misogyny. And as a woman, it makes my blood boil. I cringe at the sight and the sound of these women somehow blaming sexism or racism or any other ism for their own lack of any kind of moral decency.
Yeah, it's well said. And this whole idea of if a guy had done this, he wouldn't have gotten to any sort of backlash or trouble it's ridiculous. I mean, and that's the point. Nobody's ever even thought about doing something like this before. You know what I mean? Nobody's ever thought it would be okay to depict the president of the United States like this. Either president, by the way, Michelle, wasn't like I was doing this to Obama.
Yeah, right. And we did it. By and large, mainstream conservatives did not engage in this kind of behavior in this systematic way that so many in Hollywood and in the Democratic Party are. And I would point out that it's been 11 years since I came out with a book called Unhinged, Exposing Liberals Gone Wild, right? An entire chapter on the assassination chic that had taken over these fever swamps in Hollywood and in the Beltway. People forget that there were posters that were paraded around D.C. of George W. Bush's bloody head decapitated. There was an art exhibit in Chicago of postage stamps that were mocked up that showed George W. Bush with a gun to his head. You remember that movie Kill Bill? Somebody had adapted the movie poster art from that and put Kill Bush with a knife that was dripping with blood. So clearly this is a pathology that has infested the ideological left, so-called progressive left, for a long time. The difference is that now, in the immediate aftermath of Kathy Griffin disseminating about those photos, finally people are fighting back in a way that they weren't able to before. And I credit the joint forces of talk radio and social media for that.
You know, it's so great you brought up all those past examples. I also remember in the 1980s, there was a protest. I'm sure there were several. I wasn't there, but I've read about this across from the White House where they burned President Reagan in effigy across from the White House.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes. And that's a good historical reminder, too, because, you know, the further we get away from the Reagan years, I mean, there are young generations of people who do not realize just how vitriolic and hate-filled the left was back then. And, you know, for those, I mean, I was in high school during the Reagan years, and I remember even after the assassination attempt that there were people that were gloating about that. So you can connect the dots between that hatred of Ronald Reagan to the assassination fascination that I documented during the George W. Bush years and to Trump, where, of course, the hashtag assassinate Trump was trending before and after Election Day, but you did not see a single mainstream Democratic leader condemn that kind of rhetoric and the incitement to violence that it represents.
And the hypocrisy of this, because Kathy Griffin once said that Sarah Palin using a target on a mail piece was the reason why Congressman Gabby Giffords was shot.
Yes, that's right. And how absurd it was during that awful period in American history after the shootings in Arizona, for Sarah Palin to be blamed for it because she used an innocuous target on a map, the same kind of target that you know, that Democrats use on their strategic electoral maps as well. It's a syndrome that I call blame righty. And especially with the rise of the Tea Party and the effectiveness of so many outspoken and independent right-minded people and conservatives, all the left had left, you know, in terms of battling back, was to marginalize, demonize, and criminalize conservative political thought. And how they did that largely was to blame every random act of violence on conservative principles and conservative expressions of political speech.
Michelle Malkin writes for one of my favorite sites, Conservative Review, and she also has a show on CRTV. It's called Michelle Malkin Investigates. It's great. You should definitely watch it. She's terrific. And you always have something, I would say, very compelling to say. This is no exception when you wrote your recent piece on there, A Conservative Mom Breaks the Pot Taboo.
Yes. Yes.
And good for you, by the way, because I agree with you on this.
Thank you. You know, I'm a limited government conservative. I always have been. And then I was raised and have maintained my social conservatism as well. And I think that it is completely consistent to take the view on medical marijuana that I have taken. So there was a study that was published just last week in the New England Journal of Medicine that pointed to astonishing benefits of cannabidiol, otherwise known as CBD. And this is one of the cannabinoids. It's a chemical component of cannabis that does not make you high. And you can extract it from hemp and you can sell it as an oil. As you and some of your listeners may know, I moved to Colorado about 9 years ago, and Colorado has been at the forefront of allowing research and allowing patients, specifically pediatric patients, to use CBD to treat some, you know, intractable conditions. And this includes seizures. So the study that was published talked about how there's this incredible decrease in the frequency of convulsive seizures among kids who were using CBD. And it is my conclusion after all of these years that the war on drugs has been largely a failure, a ghastly failure of big government, trillions of dollars spent with a lot of very deleterious outcomes for society and the criminal justice system. And unfortunately, I think that a lot of patients, particularly pediatric patients, have been caught in the crossfire of this because there hasn't been a lot of scientific research possible because of all the strictures. CBD, believe it or not, is classified as a Schedule I hard drug. And Schedule I drugs are supposedly have no medical benefits. Well, that flies in the face of these published peer-reviewed studies. And Rich, I also have, unfortunately, some personal experience with this as well as a mom of a daughter who suffers from a number of chronic illnesses and chronic conditions. And our mainstream neurologist actually recommended that Veronica try CBD. It helped her temporarily. It didn't. It wasn't a permanent solution. But boy, we were really glad that we were one of many, many families who have been able to benefit from at least trying it.
I'm so glad to hear that, Michelle Malkin. I'm really glad to hear that there's been a little bit of a benefit there. But to your point, the research is limited because of the way the government and the federal government in particular cracks down on this. I mean, who would really spend the time and the money? As you know, and you've talked about this before, we've talked about this together, what it costs to develop new drugs, the kind of investment you have to make, that's almost impossible. It is impossible, actually, under the current system right now when it comes to medical pot.
It is. And so one of the important points that I made in the column, and I do want the Trump White House, which I support, to hear me. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is one of my heroes, one of my favorite people in politics and that I've ever met in my entire career and life. And unfortunately, they've sent some mixed messages about whether or not they're going to crack down on medical marijuana specifically. Jeff Sessions did meet with the governor of my adopted home state, John Hickenlooper, a Democrat in Colorado, and assured him that this was not going to be a priority going after medical marijuana providers and entrepreneurs. And I do hope they keep that promise because, as somebody who is a liberty-loving, conservative mom, my message to them is to keep their hands off and to let the scientists lead in this matter, because ultimately I believe that limited government is always the best medicine.
Now, well said, Michelle Malkin. Well said. Hey, how does Colorado compare to Jersey, by the way?
Well, you know, I can't do any saltwater fishing, so that's a bummer. And the seafood is not as good, but you know, the air is clean and fresh. It's a little thinner than it is in South Jersey, but the people are friendly there. They work hard, they play hard. I love it. Although, you know, anytime I can get my kids back to South Jersey, I'll take that chance.
And you have a new special coming to CRTV in December. Tell us what that's about real quick.
Yeah, so CRTV, I have a show that I hope your listeners will check out. It's an investigative show called Michelle Malkin Investigates. I really get to spread my wings, and we're coming out on season 2. I've got a lot of really interesting topics that I'm digging deep into, everything from immigration, which is something I've covered for the last quarter century, to education topics, homeschooling, and the fake news industry. So tune in, CRTV.com.
All right, Michelle Malkin, take care, my friend. Thanks so much for making the time today. I'm going to post a link to your article. It's a must read.
Awesome. Thank you, Rich. Take care.
Take care.
Rich Cioli, 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.